Hey, Nancy Thompson here from the Bracebridge Horticultural Society. Here's another one of the gardening trends for 2026. And it's basically talking about pollinator gardens. And you know, pollinator gardens don't have to be fussy. In fact, pollinators prefer things a little wild and even quite a bit messy. There's a few simple principles for them. One is it's best to choose native plants because of the local diners pollinators grew up with. Plant them in groups, have clusters of 5 cone flowers. It's better than one lonely one. Or put masses of the same color or the same kind of flower together. Do avoid pesticides. Pollinators certainly don't appreciate surprise chemical showers. Add water in the garden of a wide shallow dish with stones just enough to give the bees a spa day. You know, bees can drown easily, so let them stand on a rock to lean over and get a drink. Leave stems standing over winter, because many native bees will nest inside them. Include some bare ground. 70% of native bees nest in the soil, especially on sort of small slopes facing to the south. And add some shrubs. Ninebark, dogwood, and elderberry provide great structure and food. Of course, all sorts of other shrubs would do as well. And if you're worried about maintenance, remember a pollinator garden is one of the few places in life where being a little lazy is actually beneficial. Now, what are pollinators, do you ask? They're those tiny, determined creatures who work harder than most of us did in our prime. Bees, butterflies, hummingbirds, beetles, even bats, all buzzing around doing essential work, and not one of them has ever asked for a day off. Pollinators are responsible for a huge portion of the food that we enjoy. All sorts of apples, berries, squash, tomato, almonds, chocolate, and most importantly for many of us, coffee. Without pollinators, our diets would be so dull that we wouldn't probably even be eating. But pollinators can't do their job if they don't have the right plants. They need nectar and pollen from early spring right through to late fall. Just imagine if your grocery store only opened for 2 weeks in July. You'd be outraged. Pollinators feel the same. But instead of complaining, they just simply die off. That's where pollinator gardens come in. A good pollinator garden is like an all-inclusive resort for bees, butterflies, and such. The key to a great pollinator garden is continuous bloom, something that flowers in every season. Now, like most of us, pollinators wake up hungry. They've been tucked away all winter, and when they emerge, they're basically running on fumes, and early bloomers are essential to their survival. Good choices include such things as spring anemones. They come out even before the dandelions, which are great. Lilacs. Crocus, of course, is one of the early flowers up here. And willow and fussy willow, powerhouse with early pollination. Columbine, serviceberry is a native shrub that feeds both pollinators and the birds. These plants give the pollinators that jump start that they need. Think of them as the coffee and toast of the garden world. Now, summer is when your garden becomes the equivalent of Bracebridge in summer. Everyone shows up. Bees, butterflies, hummingbirds, beetles, bats, and the occasional neighbor who just wants to take a clipping. Some summer bloomers include bee balm, coneflower, which is sturdy and colorful and almost impossible to kill unless you really try it, milkweed, which is totally essential for monarch butterflies, black-eyed Susans, that cheerful, dependable, and spreads like gossip, lavender, fragrant, drought-tolerant, and beloved by bees and humans alike. Now, of course, most of the vegetables in your garden would be flowering at this time, too, and they're all good for pollinators. So plant them in clusters again. Pollinators don't want to have to fly a marathon for just one flower. They prefer a good patch where they can tank up without burning all the calories they just collected. This means lots of the same kind and color. And of course, in the fall, it's when many gardens start to fade, but pollinators still need food. This is the time late bloomers become heroes. You need things like asters, the grand finale of the garden, goldenrod, unfairly blamed for allergies, but it's a pollinator's superstar. Sedum autumn joy, Joe Pye Reed with its tall, majestic, it's a real butterfly magnet. These plants help pollinators build up the reserves they need to migrate, hibernate, or simply survive the winter. It's like stocking up the pantry before the snowstorm. When you create a pollinator garden, something wonderful is happening. Your yard becomes alive, truly alive. And you're helping sustain the ecosystem that we all depend on. A pollinator garden is a small act with a big impact. It's like donating to charity, but with more flowers and fewer receipts. So as you plan your garden this year, think of it as a building a buffet that lasts from April to October. The pollinators will repay you with a healthier garden, a richer landscape, and the quiet satisfaction of knowing that you made a difference without lifting anything heavier than a trowel. This is Nancy Thompson from the Bracebridge Horticultural Society wishing you a great Muskoka day. Bye-bye for now.